always on Thursdays, we're going to start with a little bit of Parsha. Obviously, as Klal Yisrael stayed in the Midbar, it was not pleasant. There was a lot of, it was a tumultuous time for the Jewish people. We didn't exactly live up at all times to the idea of being an Am Nivchar, and certainly not a Dardeya at certain points in time. The Cheder Egel, the Cheder Meraglim, we complained that we didn't have meat, we complained that we were thirsty. And yet, with all that, which perhaps are a result of the frightening reality of just a desert existence, which is just hard to face every day, there was only one real full-blown rebellion, an absolute rebellion. And each of the sins were a result of fear, instability, but the rebellion is different. The rebellion is not fear, it's not instability, it's not a reaction to anything. It's calculated, it's cheshbind, a rebellion against Torah leadership. And because the Maisa Korach is unique in Chumash, in that it's not just an Avera, a rebellion is much more than an Avera. So perhaps an analysis of the rebellion will shed light on every other rebellion against Torah authority throughout the ages. So what I'm going to share with you today is a mimer from Soloveitchik Zichrono Livracha, from the Rav, on the rebellion of Korach and what that tells us about rebellions throughout the ages. I don't remember which of the books it's published in. It's in one of the books of English Shiurim, one of the books in English of Shiurim that he gave. When my wife graduated high school, her uncle gave her all of the Rav Soloveitchik books. So we have like everything that was ever published. That was her graduation present. Her uncle is a very close Talmud Rav Soloveitchik, so that's. So I don't think she had much use for it then, but now we have a lot of use for it. So I shouldn't say that. She had much use for it, I'm sure, the whole time. So Rav Soloveitchik has an analysis of this rebellion. So the specific arguments related by the Chumash and Chazal require analysis also. I mean, the idea that an entire nation is holy, Kolam, you know, we're Kulam Kedoshim, it's accurate. We are all holy. We're all the chosen people. And Yisrael, Afal Pishachati Yisrael, there's nothing that we do that changes the fact that we are Jewish people. So why was that such a terrible argument to make? Meaning that the Adas Korach says that everybody's Kedoshim. That's not so bad. We actually are Kedoshim. Where was the mistake in suggesting that we're all Kedoshim? And for anybody learned in the area of halachic reasoning, you know, sometimes people think like, you know, if a person has never heard of halacha before, has never engaged in halacha, so sometimes they make halachic arguments that are just silly. Meaning if you're familiar with the system, then you know what is a viable halachic argument and what is not viable halachic argument. So anyone who's at least a little bit schooled in halachic reasoning can see how utterly preposterous Korach's other claims were from a halachic standpoint. Because the garment is made entirely of tcheles, it should be exempt from tzitzis. That's like saying, because I have a palm tree with hundreds of branches, I shouldn't have to take a lulav. What do you mean? That's not the halacha. The halacha is that you have a four-cornered garment, you tie tzitzis on the corners. It's obvious the mitzvah doesn't require being near tcheles, it doesn't require proximity to tcheles. Oh, because I have three chilazos in my fish tank, and b'shah tova, more on the way, and a lot of eggs about to hatch, so hopefully, because I have the X number of chilazos in my fish tank, oh, so now I don't have to wear tcheles. That's absurd. Of course you still have to wear tcheles. What was Korach's argument over here? According to the Ramban, the Maisa Korach was precipitated by the promotion of Aaron HaKohen to the Kohuna Gedola. And that meant that the Levium were left as nothing more than assistants to the Kohanim. And that occurred a year before the rebellion, but Korach understood very well that timing is going to be very important from a PR perspective. That the time was not right for a rebellion at the time when he wanted to start the rebellion. At the time that Levium had to take a back seat, Moshe Rabbeinu's popularity was at its peak. It would have been the equivalent of like trying to rebel against President Bush or Mayor Giuliani on September 12th, 2001. Meaning that now, easy, no problem. But specifically September 12th, 2001, right then, they were heroes. They were the people that had clear leadership and a strong leader. In the Rabban's words, the people would have stoned him if he would have tried to rebel against Moshe Rabbeinu at that time. According to the Ramban, this part of the Torah is written in chronological order. The rebellion only began after the story of the Meraglim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had just punished the people, and Moshe couldn't undo the decree. You're stuck in the Midbar for another 40 years. Where's your leader now? How come he couldn't stand up for you? How come he couldn't change that? How come he couldn't do something about that? A nation that was expecting to enter the Promised Land in a matter of days now had 39 cold, hard years of desert travel staring them in the face, and they weren't even going to make it. It was only going to be their children that were going to make it. That's a time to rebel. When there's vulnerability, when leadership is vulnerable, when the people aren't happy, they're anyway agitated to capitalize on that. That's what Korach realized. So the anatomy of the rebellion starts with commitment. In order to pull off what he was trying to accomplish, Korach had to be singularly committed to this cause. He was intelligent and used every tool at his disposal. Cajolery, persuasion, flattery, sarcasm, whatever. Even to the point of self-endangerment. When the Torah uses the unusual terminology, Vayikach Korach, the implication, according to the Ramban, is that he had a tremendous mental resolve to see this through. Willpower and commitment, however, alone doesn't accomplish what a movement is meant to accomplish. Korach is driven by envy, but he needed a platform. He needed a cause. So he couldn't just say, my cause is that I'm jealous. My cause is that I want to bring down the leadership of Klal Yisrael. That's not a cause. No one was going to rally around him for that. He needed something to marshal the support of the people. So he presents arguments. And he chooses two platforms, two ideological arguments to base his rebellion on. One of them is explicit in the Torah, and the other one is from Chazal. Korach's first argument, as Rav Soloveitchik put it, was a Jeffersonian egalitarian principle of democracy. Essentially, that's not the way I would have said it. All Jews are chosen equal, right? That was the idea, that all Jews are chosen equal. By what right do Moshe and Aaron raise themselves up above other Jews? Where did Korach go wrong over here? What was wrong with that argument that all Jews are chosen equal? After all, aren't we actually all the Am HaNivchar? Rav Soloveitchik explains that he did not recognize that there are two elements, there's Tzvei Dinim of Bechira. He didn't study in a Brisker Yeshiva, he wasn't familiar with Tzvei Dinim. He just thought, chosenness, okay, everyone's chosen. Name, Tzvei Dinim in Bechira. The Torah tells us, "Ki am kadosh atah l'Hashem elokecha, uvcha bachar Hashem liyoslo la'am segula mikol ha'amim asher al pnei adama." And yet Rashi points out the pasuk is repetitive. It already said, "Ki am kadosh atah." Why then does it have to say, "Uvcha bachar Hashem"? So to explain the repetition, Rashi comments, "Kedushas atzmucha me'avosecha, va'od uvcha bachar Hashem." We have our own Kedusha because all Jews are holy. All Jews are chosen equal. And Korach was correct. Kol ha'am, kulam kedoshim. That part he was right about. But he didn't see the second, he didn't realize the second half of the pasuk. That as individuals, we have to be the ones who Hashem chooses. Uvecha b'char Hashem. That we have to live up to a certain expectation to be the ones that God would want to choose. We're an Am Kadosh by virtue of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. As a group, we remain together. The word Am is also Im, it's with, that we're all together. And as an Am, yeah, we're all one unit. And that's true whether you're Moshe Rabbeinu or you're a lowly Am Aretz. But the second level of Kedusha, that's not universal. Uvecha b'char Hashem liyoslo la'am skula, that's something you have to become. That's something that requires effort, toil, it requires accomplishment. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Korach that this dispute cannot be settled at night. You have to wait until Boker in order to put an end to this dispute. Nighttime represents sameness. Everything comes together, it's not easily differentiated. How do we, in fact, when the Mishnayos have to define what's called morning? It's when you're able to distinguish. But it's when you're able to make distinctions. At nighttime, we can't make distinctions. Boker is etymologically similar to levaker, to discriminate. It's only Boker v'yodasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed that some people are chosen, and that even though everyone's part of the same Am, there are those that have made it, and those that haven't quite yet made it. Those that haven't yet quite earned it. And Korach could not understand how Judaism would encourage some people to be in positions of power, because he didn't understand that an elevated position, what an elevated position in the Jewish community meant. Just yesterday, many of us had the opportunity to sit with Rav Asher Weiss And his message to us was that if you're going to be future rabbis, if you're going to be future leaders of Klal Yisrael, realize that our leaders are not our most powerful or our most wealthy or even our most respected. The leaders are Talmidei Chacham. Moshe had the status of a melech, but he's forever known not as a melech, as Moshe Rabbeinu, as a Rebbe. David HaMelech was a Rav and a Posek. Yadai Meluchlachos Benam meant not only with the wars that he fought, but with paskening cases of Hilchos Nida. That's the way Chazal understood it. The Yadai Meluchlachos Benam, you would think David HaMelech, he's a warrior. That's what makes a hero. Not for us. It's because he paskened Hilchos Nida. The political kings of the king of the Jews is at best a Melech Evyon, completely subservient to the Melech Elyon. That's what we have to understand about Jewish leadership. That's what Korach didn't understand. The Jewish leadership is not about glory, it's not about honor, it's not about power, it's not about higher salaries. You know, Rabbi Reisman told us yesterday, for those of us who had the opportunity to sit with Rabbi Reisman yesterday, he was saying that don't go into administration. Right? What was this thing against administration? It's not really a thing against. Meaning, think about who we need good administrators. And you know, and without good administrators, this yeshiva doesn't exist. The yeshiva we were in yesterday doesn't. No yeshivas exist without good administration. What was his point? His point is that the ultimate heroes of the Jewish people are always going to be our rebbe. Meaning, there could be great, great administrators that are absolutely necessary. But the leadership, the people we go to for Eitza, are not the administration. Never was. Right? I remember when I was living in yeshiva, Rabbi Lab was a towering figure of modern Orthodoxy. But you ask a bachur in the yeshiva, like, who do you go to for Eitza? He wasn't the person you go to for Eitza. He ran the yeshiva, he increased the endowment of the yeshiva and the prestige of the yeshiva, and he did so, so much. But who do you go to for Eitza? Rav Shachter, Rav Rosenzweig, Rav Tversky, the Rebbeim in the Beis Medrash. And that's who Klal Yisrael turns to. A derivative of the idea that all Jews are equal is the notion that all Jews have an equal right to interpret halacha. And that's where Chazal explained the second element of Korach's rebellion. The question of the Beged Shekula Tchilas not requiring tzitzis, the Bayis Malei Svarim not requiring mezuzah, was meant to illustrate that halacha should be determined by common sense. The halacha is there for a reason. We have to find the inspiration that the halacha is meant to give us. And if you can achieve that underlying inspiration, then forget the halacha. So Beged Shekula Tchilas will remind me of the Yam and the Rakia and the Kisei HaKavod. So good, so what do I need the halacha? After all, Rachmana Libabai, the Ribbono Shel Olam only wants our hearts. Korach wasn't posing the halachic argument. From a halachic standpoint, it's stupid. It's a silly argument. He was posing an argument against the very notion of a halachic argument. He was saying, forget about halachic arguments. It was an argument illustrating how to undermine the halacha in the interest of the bigger picture. In Hebrew, we have three distinct terms to describe intellectual superiority. Chachma, Bina, V'das. You may be familiar. Chabad. Das is intuitive common sense. God-given intelligence. A bar das has basic street smarts and understanding of the world. How much does a 13-year-old know? Unless he's Rav Asher Weiss, he knows all the first kind of the Mishnah Berurah by heart. How much does a 13-year-old know? Not that much. But he's a bar das, because he has basic street smarts. He couldn't understand what's happening when a kinyan is being made, and he has the requisite seriousness to see to it that the kinyan happens. Chachma is a specialized area of knowledge. Chachmas ha, whatever. You know, whatever area that person has gained expertise. A person could study chachmas yivanis, chachmas hateva. Bina is an intellect trained in precision, in exactness, in categories. Korach correctly pointed out that all Jews have das. We can feel out of situation, know if we've achieved what the mitzvah set out to do. But to paskin a halacha, you require all of Chabad. A person requires chachma, a specialized understanding of halachic logic, which is a totally distinct intellectual discipline and often runs counter to common sense. And it also requires bina, a lot of training in distinguishing and making chilukim, in understanding what a nafkamina is, in understanding how to break down the different elements of a case. You have a shaila and you have to know, well, there are really five shailas over here. Or there are really three se'ifim in Shulchan Aruch in three different places that relate to the shaila. We too believe that the experience of Judaism is important, the experiential element. But whereas Korach allowed the experience to serve as the basis and the halacha to just flow from that, we insist that the halacha serves as the base and the experience flows from that. In Rav Soloveitchik's words, to pray and to dance and sing, yes. To dance and sing in order to pray? No. I don't know. It's surprising, no? A little bit, that that's a quote, that's a direct quote. We have halachas where there's an emotional kiyum, a kiyum shebelev, tefillah, avelos, simchas yomtov. You know, are a few examples of that. Through the mitzvah, though, we're elevated or relegated to very strong emotions in one direction or the other. So Korach's goal was to stress the Eda, the group. His ideology led to the destruction of any unified experience of Judaism, because each person experiences their own inspiration at their own time. If it's all about the experience, 100 different people have 100 different experiences. There's not going to be a standard behavior for any Jew in Korach's world. When the experience emanates from the halacha, we start out with something universal. We start out with a certain amount of achdus, and that serves as the foundation. You know, Gothic cathedrals and temples are intended to arouse feelings of boundlessness and questing for the heavens. The Torah wants the experience to come from within, not from the external stimulants. Architecture of a shul, you know, generally was not that important in Judaism. I mean, some basics, but not like, didn't always have to be so impressive. You could have a very meaningful tefillah in a shtibel in a basement somewhere. The Kohen Gadol each morning would first fix the menorah and only then be makter the ketores. The clarity of the light of Torah and the mitzvos was the prerequisite to the dveikus, which is achieved through the ketores. So that's the anatomy of a rebellion. To figure out a person who has a bone to pick, a person who has some agenda to exploit, to figure out the right timing to exploit that agenda, and then the two elements. The commitment to see it through, but the two elements. The idea that everybody is equal, not recognizing that some people are more equal than others. Some people, that's a bad expression to use, but some people have earned more rights than others in terms of having an opinion in Torah Hashkafa. And second, that when it comes to interpreting halacha, halacha has to be the basis for all Jewish behavior. And everything that follows, all of the meaning and the impact and the singing and the dancing and everything else and the emotion that comes with it is all critical to being a Jew, but it's an outgrowth of the way a Torah Jew lives his life, which is with Taryag Mitzvos.